was wondering if anybody would be interested in a $20 bill. My kids are the only one that raised their hand because they realize it's coming out of my pocket. Anybody at all? $20 bill? Anybody at all? What if I did this? I crumpled it up just like this. Would anybody want that $20 bill? Yeah? There you go. So here's the question. A $20 bill retains its value no matter what it looks like. Would you agree with me? I can take a $20 bill that's been ripped in half, taped back together, and has a smiley face written over the face of the president who's on it. I think it's Jackson, isn't it? No. Who's on the $20 bill? I don't know. Let me see that bill back. Anyway, it doesn't change the value of that $20 bill. It is still a $20 bill. And see, that's what integrity is. Integrity is making us the same inside and out. We retain our value no matter what we look like. Deciding, this is John Maxwell's definition of integrity. Deciding to integrate my heart's value into my daily actions. Now, if we look at this, and we see this as a task for us during the week, to clothe ourselves to be like Jesus, I think if we look at really hard, in particular, this personality of Jesus, Jesus had to defend himself against the religious leaders of his day, right? He had enemies and he had rivals, and they said bad and nasty things about his claim to be the Messiah. They said all these things against Jesus, but Jesus says in chapter 10 of John, verse 25, he says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. He says right there in his words, I am what I am. I do what I do because of who God made me and who I am. See, a person of integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. If we're pure in heart, then we can be pure in our actions. And integrity is making my daily actions line up with my heart values. Because we think a lot of things, but we have to value the benefits of integrity. Integrity is, if we're realistic, none of us can change the value of ourselves unless we understand what value means. If we understand the quantity or the qualifications of value. And so, excuse me, if you go to the store and you determine what you're going to pay for something, I go to the store a lot. We were just talking about going to Costco. I go to Costco probably once or twice a week, and I don't necessarily enjoy it, but we go there because it saves us money in the long run. But you go to Costco and you do this thing where you say, okay, if I get 2 gallons of milk at Costco and I pay $4.50, am I saving money or should I go to Safeway where it's $1.99 for a gallon on sale? Now, I'm not advertising Costco or Safeway at this point. What I'm saying is I want to get the most for my money, okay? So if I go into a store, I will buy something based upon its value to me. Now, that brings up another illustration for us. Now, If I were to look in some of our closets, I would see shoes probably that value $150, okay? And I know that if I looked in some of my kids' closets, not necessarily mine, but some of our foreign exchange students who come here and they live for Nike and Adidas, you go in their closet and they've got some shoes, not these guys, but the other guys we had. These guys don't do anything like that. But the other guys, we went to a Nike store and we walked out of there paying $1,500 for shoes, not a pair, but several pair of shoes. And I know at least one of them was $300. And I think to myself, first of all, I would never pay $350 for a pair of shoes. When I go shopping for shoes, I look, these are $19.99 at Ross. Okay, I get the shoes that are a deal, right? I used to have to wear like orthopedic kind of shoes before I lost weight. And so I had these special, but anyways, I don't have to do that anymore. I can just go buy a pair of shoes. And I get about, I shoot for about a $40 pair of shoes. My wife, she shoots for a $20 pair of shoes. She didn't care about shoes at all. But I know there are some ladies who like to buy shoes, and they spend a lot of money on shoes or purses. My wife just wants a purse that's big enough to hold everything. I don't care. I don't carry a purse, but she will pay what she wants to carry a purse. Some people pay a lot of money. We've seen purses at these auctions that are worth several hundred dollars at the school auctions I've been to. Now, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but the reason I say that is because we look at the value of things. Now, look at computers. You go to any store, you look at computers, and they all look the same. They're a box and a keyboard and a monitor. And you see one that's $550, you see one that's $750, and you got one over here that's $2,200, and I can't figure out what the difference is between the three. Now, there are some numbers that play into this, and I don't know what those numbers are, but since it doesn't matter to me, I'm going to get the best value for my money. There are some people that it matters, and so they look at it differently. So integrity is not just fad. Integrity is like the pair of shoes or like the computer that you're going to buy. You're going to buy what you're, if I'm going to pay $2,200 for a computer, it better work all the time. Matter of fact, it better check the mail and do my laundry. It's got to be a good computer. But I just get an email machine. It's one that I can check emails on. And so you get what you pay for, right? So if we're going to be a person of integrity, we have to understand that we're giving what we're being paid. Does that make sense? Integrity provides us with protection. So integrity is like we have less fear when we have integrity. There's a certain amount of protection that comes with it. Psalm 25:21 says, "May integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you." Mark Twain said this way. He said, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of your lives. If you tell the truth, you never have to remember anything. You don't have to remember what you said. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said and who you said it to." Lies are one of those things that you have to keep figuring out how this person's going to believe you. So you tell them one thing after another, and then pretty soon somebody else hears that you didn't do it this way, you did it this way. You don't have to remember anything if you're telling the truth, because the truth is the truth. Always, 100% of the time. See, when I have integrity, I'm protected. If I have less fear and I have less stress, then I don't have to look over my shoulder all the time to find out who's looking to see whether I'm doing anything. Integrity also provides me with security or some greater greater confidence. Proverbs 10:9 reads this way. It says, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes a crooked path will be found out." I can be confident that what I do is right, and that if I do what is right, it will prosper me in the end. It may not prosper me financially. Sometimes doing the right thing doesn't make me money, but it prospers me in other ways. If you walk in integrity, you don't have to worry about a shaky foundation at all. You have a firm foundation because integrity provides me with that thing. Integrity also provides me with guidance or a better decision-making process. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides him, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." The unfaithful are destroyed by duplicity. By being double-minded, you're going to destroy yourself. And listen, we live in a society where moral values have gone completely out the window, and anything goes. And when people choose what's right and wrong without having a standard, eventually you're going to get caught in duplicity. You have to choose right and wrong. It will come back to bite you. I guarantee it. Because you are going to have to live with the decisions you make throughout your entire life. And I know that decisions you make even before you're married, young people, the decisions you make before you married affect you as a married person. The decisions you make today affect you 10 years from now. There are people whose marriages are falling apart because of things that happened 20 years ago. Those things will follow you eventually. So integrity provides me with hope. These are future rewards. Future rewards. Job 4:6 says this, "Is not your fear of God your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope?" Hope for what? Well, I hope that one day I'll stand before God, and I will not be ashamed of how I lived here on earth. I want God to say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I want to be commended for my lifestyle. I can't say that I'll always be commended for the things that I've decided to do, even as an adult. I've made decisions that are clearly wrong. I have to elevate myself to a place of integrity. Integrity is something that I have to rise to. So how do we do it? How do we become people of integrity? Well, what can you change in your life to get those things, to have the blessing of God? The first thing, and I think these actions are already in there for you, but I'm going to go ahead and give them to you as we go along. You have to ask God to test your heart. You know, if you've ever been to the hospital or a doctor's office and you had an EKG, the reason they do that is they want to check the condition of your heart. And you want God to know where your heart is. It's a condition of the heart integrity is. This physical testing of the heart is what God does to us. He needs to kind of hit us sometimes with a shock to get us in the right spot. He needs to find out the condition of our heart so he can put us right. Because if you're not honest with God, I mean, he knows what's going on, but if you're not honest with God, you're not going to listen to what God has to say to you. We want this to happen before any major problems happen in our life. Unfortunately, we don't check our heart fast enough, and that's when our heart doesn't work right. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. It says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have been given willingly, I've given willingly with an honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. You see, God is pleased with integrity. He examines the heart to see if we're full of integrity or full of something else. You know, what you believe in your heart will determine how you act when you're placed in a tempting situation. What you have going in your heart is the first thing that comes out when your heart is pushed. Those things are what's going to decide who you are. Listen, I was going to share a story. There was a story about a guy in Chicago in 1996. I relate to this very well because this couple lost this leather pouch. They were getting ready to go on their honeymoon, and they had $12,000 in this leather pouch, and they lost it. He lost it the day of the wedding. And so there was this guy by the name of David, and he finds this, and he ends up giving it back. And he tracks the couple down, and he gives them the full amount of everything that was in there. And they asked the guy, they said, so why did you give it all back? It was cash. You could have walked off with it. He said it didn't matter whether it was $50, 50 cents, or $12,000. Truth is still truth. It doesn't belong to me. $1 million, it didn't belong to me. You see, what happens is you become that person. You become that person. The person who wherever your integrity lies, that's who you are. If you're a thief, you'll be labeled a thief. And then you'll think like a thief, and then you'll act like a thief. If you're a liar, you'll be labeled a liar. You'll think like a liar, and you'll lie all the time. That's what we do as humans. You're going to be characterized by your integrity. And if you prove integrity, you'll demonstrate integrity in your life. And that means having the right things in your heart and not be greedy. Greediness is something that we all get stuck into at some point. We have to ask God to show us where we're being greedy. We have to ask God to show us the condition of our heart. And he says in Psalm 26, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. So how does he do that? How does he show us what's questionable in our integrity? What in our characteristics is questionable? And I think one of the ways he does that is through the Bible. If you read God's word, That's why this next point is so important. You have to study to know what is true. You have to study God's word. Throughout the Bible, you'll find words like honesty and purity and truth and upright and complete. You'll find all those words, and they mean the same thing. They all are synonymous. They mean integrity. If you're honest, you'll have integrity. Pure, integrity. True, integrity. Upright, integrity. If you're going to live that life, that's what it looks like. And it means spending time in God's word, studying God's word, not just bringing it with you on Sunday, not just opening it when the pastor tells you to open it. Here's the deal. I am guilty. I put scriptures up on the screen so you guys aren't ripping it, because I go through a lot of scriptures sometimes. And so I put it up there. I don't do that to make your life, I do that to make your life easy. But when you get home, you have all these notes. I expect that you're going to look at these again. At some point in your life, you're going to say, oh yeah, maybe you'll write in the column of your Bible. My very first Bible that I used as a college student had things written all over and highlighted. I had four different colors of highlighter. It was a mess. Faith got one just like it. It was a mess. All full of stuff. Everything now is electronic. But I had notes written everywhere. That Bible, the covers fell off, because it was so used. Do you have a Bible like that? Are you using your Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So when you see God's word, you're supposed to be able to grab onto it. And when it says take a handle on it, it means to grasp it and to put it together in your life and make it work inside your life. Take time to read and study, because the Bible is our only standard of living. There are lots of pamphlets on how to live your life and what, 12 steps to a happy marriage and 20 steps to sober or whatever. I got them backwards. Anyway, you got 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. You got all these things. But listen, there's nothing more true than God's word. That's what we should be living ourselves by right there. And listen, we have an opportunity. Yeah, after we get back from our trip, we have Wednesday nights where we come together, we do Bible study. The ladies are doing Bible study once a month in the morning over brunch or some finger food, I don't know. But the reason we do these groups is so that you can be engaged in Bible study. You may not be good at studying the Bible on your own. Get in a group where you can study God's word, where you can be a part of a group. And we have Sunday school for kids so they can study God's word. They're memorizing God's word. And as children, they're memorizing it. We forget that when we graduate from Sunday school that we still have to memorize God's word. We don't do that. You will never be able to be stable in your life if you don't spend time getting into God's word. The foundation of who we are has to be founded in God's word. Otherwise, if you don't have stable grounds, you'll be tossed around like a storm. You'll lose your footing. You have to be grounded in God's word. Ephesians 4:14, what does it say? It says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. I got about 4 or 5 years ago, I bought this red-handled gun that is supposed to test my Christmas lights. Okay? I've had this gun. No, actually, I have two, because I had to buy another one. I couldn't find it 2 years ago. I had this little red gun. And I would take the bulb out, and I would take a dead bulb, I'd stick it in the gun, and it'd light up, and I'd put it back, and I'm, busting my fingers trying to figure out how this is saving me time. So this year, when I got it out, I decided I'd read the directions. The directions actually say, you take the gun, you plug it into the light strand, you pull the trigger, all the lights come on except the bad one. It's a wonderful thing if you read the directions. I can't tell you how many things I've put together, and after I got it together, I've got the handle upside down on the drawer because I put the face on backwards. And then it doesn't go in the hole like it's supposed to. Why? Because I didn't read the directions. This is our directions in life. If you don't read these directions, you're going to be installed upside down somewhere along the line. You have to apply God's word to all your activities during the week. When you work, apply God's word. When you do school, apply God's word. Psalm 15 says, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell in the holy hill? Who walks in the integrity and works righteousness, and who speaks truth in his heart? You have to speak truth in your daily activities. You have to do those things on a daily basis. Walk daily in God's word. James 1:22 says, do not be merely listeners to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. You see, education without application is a complete waste of time. Ask the person who changed his major halfway through college. I bet half the people who go to college change their major halfway through. Why? Because they don't want to waste time studying something that they're not going to be able to use. You have to be educated, and then you have to apply what you learn. The fact is pretty good. God's word is pretty clear. He has instructions for each of us. We just need to apply it to our lives and become integrity-filled people. We will have hope. We'll have guidance. We'll have security. We'll have protection, right? I used to go to this dry cleaner in Ridgecrest. I used to take my shirts and to get them dry cleaned. And it was called One Hour Cleaning. And the first time I was in the shop, I took it in and I gave him my shirts. And I said, I'll be back this afternoon. She said, oh, they'll be ready on Tuesday. I said, Tuesday? It says One Hour Cleaning. She said, well, that's just the name of the shop. I said, you can't name your shop One Hour Cleaning and then serve me my cleaning. I need it Sunday. I didn't raise my voice at her, but I was raising my voice in my head. Who does that? That's like selling chicken. Put a sign out, says fresh fried chicken, and you end up getting fish sticks. I don't know. We have to live up to what we say. If we're going to say we're going to be done in an hour, be done in an hour. If you're going to say you're a Christian, you need to act like a Christian. You need to act like Christ would. In accordance to God's word, you can't walk around with a cross on your shirt and not act like Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I can't tell you how many times I've bought a complete set of something and gotten home and there are parts missing. The box should say a complete set, maybe. You know what I mean? Because I've gotten home and I've had to go back to IKEA, I don't know how many times, to pick up a bolt. Or I call the company and they say, oh, you can't take it back to the store, we'll have to mail it to you. So a week later, I'm putting together something that I should have put together when I bought it. Listen, you have to represent as people of God. You say you're a Christian, you have to represent God. You see, one of the worst things we can do is not represent God. You know what I mean? It's the worst thing you can do as a person, to act like a non-Christian if you have Christ in your life. It's the worst commercial ever. It's the worst. We're supposed to share God's love with them, and how can we do that if they can't stand to be near us? Think about Jesus. When he walked into a crowd, they came in. Whoop, they swooped in. He had that personality. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be Jesus. I'd like for us all to try to be like Jesus. But, you know, there are certain Christians that they just have a personality about them that when they come into a room, they brighten the room. And there are some Christians that have been looking like they've been sucking on green persimmons their entire life. You know, they're Christians. You know, whatever. There are so many things that happen that damages lives because Christians aren't genuinely Christ-filled. You know? We have to remain faithful. Number four, remain faithful in spite of our circumstances. Listen, I've had a rough year, okay? And so in spite of what I've been going through, there was a week or two or six or 12 that I was walking around like you could blow me over with a feather, like they'd say, you know what I mean? I just was zapped. I did not have the peace that comes with integrity because I was not claiming what I know God had for me, you know? And it seems like you're not able to handle one more day of this kind of calamity going on in your life. But listen, you're not going to lose it. Don't give up. That's all I'm saying. Don't ever give up. Just remain faithful. And it's tough. There are a lot of times I wanted to throw in the towel. And you as a person, somewhere in your life, you say, I got to quit doing this. I can't do it anymore. It's like beating my head against the wall. I got to stop. Listen, don't give up. If you're doing the right thing, you'll have integrity and you'll get through it. In the end, look at Job chapter 2, verse 3. Now, Job went through a lot. Remember the story of Job? He says, Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. God commends Job for his character. God commends Job because he's blameless, he's upright, he fears God, he shuns evil. His character was good. His character stayed intact despite of all the best efforts that Satan could throw at him. He lost his home, he lost his kids, he lost his money, he lost his health, but he never gave up on God. If you ever feel like you're ready to give up, take time to pray and ask God to renew your strength. Find a friend, find a brother or sister in Christ, someone that you can go to and say, look, I need you to pray with me. Just pray with me. You don't have to ask them for money. You don't have to ask them for any other support. Pray. I don't know any Christian that if you said to them, would you pray with me, that they would look at you and say, nope. I know everybody in this room, most of you, have a very good relationship. And I know that if they ask any of you to pray, you would probably say, stop what you're going to say, okay, let's pray now. Or you'd say, let me write this down. I'll pray when I get home. You know, not all of us are public prayers, but listen, there are some prayer warriors that never mention it in public. We have a prayer chain, and Susie's always putting stuff on the prayer chain. And as soon as you text Susie, I get a text. She texts somebody else. Everybody's praying for you. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Remember, faithful to God, he'll be faithful to you. You see, we have to be faithful to him. Number 5, refuse to be persuaded by others. Sometimes our friends are our worst enemies. They want to suck green persimmon with you. They want to be miserable because you're miserable. You know anybody like that? They want to go through it because you're going through it. And I know it's tough because you want to feel like you're empathetic. Right? You have empathy or sympathy or whatever it is. Sympathy means you see what they're going through. Empathy means you felt it, right? So you try to feel it. So we cry together. I get that, okay? But Mark 12:14 says, they came to him and said, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. It is right to pay taxes. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Listen, what was Jesus' response? Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. You don't worry about that stuff. Ask the right questions. And you know, Job had 3 friends that are not like the friends you want to have either. Okay? Job had sinned against God and he needed to get right. Job knew better. He knew he had to get right with God. And Job's wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse your God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God but not trouble? Should we only accept God's blessings and not the trial that God has you going through for the moment? And all this stuff that went on in Job's life, he didn't sin. And I know as a human, we say, we got all this going on. I have the right to do this. You know what I mean? I just need to go out with the guys and kind of just get it out of my system because I'm having a rough time at work, whatever it is. You know, I've seen guys do this. Ladies, you probably do it too. Knitting club, I don't know, whatever you do. Hey, we don't let other people dictate to us what we do. Just because they do it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because they say, oh man, listen, people said to me, oh Dan, you need a drink. My doctor said to me one time, I said, we're going to fly somewhere across an 11-hour flight. I need something to help me go to sleep. He said, it's free to drink on the airplane. Just drink. I said, what? You don't have a pastor, right? He said, yeah, but it's free. What kind of doctor does that? Obviously, he didn't have a liver problem at that point. Anyways, we don't let other people dictate to us what we're going to do. God says it right there in his word. You ever heard the term, everybody's doing it? Listen, that's peer pressure that you don't need. It's a lame rationalization. It's lame. Whether you're today, whether your life ends today or tomorrow, listen, the only thing that counts is what is God going to say about you, not what your friends are going to say about you. That's all that matters when you check out of this world. How does God feel about you? Job 8:20 says, "Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he support the evildoers." The fact is, integrity has a much higher value than money, ever. You cannot buy integrity. Just ask our president. He is one of the richest people in the States, I guess. But he opens his mouth and puts his foot in it every time. And you can't pay your way out of that. You know? Proverbs 19:1 says, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in his speech and is a fool." Proverbs 28:6, these are up there, I think. "Better is the poor who walks in integrity than he who is crooked to be rich." It's better to be poor than to be rich and a crook or crooked. Psalm 101, verse 2 says this, "I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart." That's David. If it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. If it doesn't work at work, it doesn't work. If it doesn't work in your life, it ain't going to work for you. Listen, one of the things that I've always wanted to hear about myself was that if Dan says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I really try to be a man of integrity. I can't say that I'm 100%. I try all the time. I'll say, "This is what we're going to do," and I just don't have the strength to get there. Right? No matter what the circumstances there are in your life, your heart has to line up with God's word. And make sure that our heart is in tune with God. They say something about newborns and moms, you know, their systems work together when they're together. And then when the baby comes out, they lay the baby here because there's a synchronization that happens. And, you know, I don't know, it hasn't stopped yet. My kids still whine to faith and faith gives in. I don't know. Well, here's the deal. There's a bond that takes place between a mother and a child that I probably won't ever understand. But there's something about being molded into God's image. Where if you just picture yourself laying on God's chest. All my kids don't remember. None of my kids remember this because they were babies. I used to cuddle with my babies. I would sit on the chair, and I had a belly, and they would just lay over my belly like this. And they would just say that, like, they would do this. And it was just something about that, you know, that the baby thing. And I think the only time it ever backfired is when I had two. And one threw up, and then the other threw up. And I didn't want to get it on my lazy boy. And so I threw the kids down. No, I put them down gently. Nobody was hurt by the impaling vomit, but we were all good. But listen, I'll tell you, there's nothing more satisfying as a dad than to have that happen. Now think about God for a moment. How satisfying is it for you to be laying in the arms of God every day? And that your heartbeat is in tune with the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. And if God says you move, because he's moving, you move with God. That's a beautiful picture. And I want to leave you with that picture tonight. That is what it is. That's how that relationship of integrity works. You have to decide. This is what John Maxwell says. Deciding to integrate my heart's value into my daily actions. The value of your heart into what you do every day. That matters. That symbiotic relationship. It happens. Yeah, I can't believe I use the word symbiotic either. But it's there. That's how it works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you brought us to this point where we just simply ask the question, are we going to be believers with integrity? Father, are we going to put you first in our daily lives? Are we going to serve you at work and serve you at home? Are we going to serve you as a dad and serve you as a brother and as a sister? Father, that we would, as as a church family, that we would move together in that direction. Father, that we would feel your spirit and your presence and know where you're going so that we can be there too. We thank you for this time. We pray as we close this service in a song, Lord, that if there's something that needs to be done, that folks would come and pray and leave it at the altar this morning, this evening. And Father, as we are dismissed tonight, I pray that we would take that spirit of integrity with us, that we would work on it day to day. Father, that we would just give that to you in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.